Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Tuesday, October 30th, 2012. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. The family and friends of Lael Grant are now offering a $1,000 reward for the person who leads them to her location. The 33-year-old mother of two went missing from Sitka about 2 weeks ago. Her family last reported seeing her on October 14th. Authorities say she was spotted at a C-Mark grocery store a day or two later. Her car was found in the Nelson Logging Road on October 20th. Sitka Mountain Rescue, the Coast Guard, the Forest Service, and the Sitka Police all engaged in a widespread search for Grant. That search has been suspended, and teams are now following up on individual leads as the police continue to investigate. Police say they don't yet know whether foul play is involved. Anyone with information is urged to call Sitka Police at 907-747-3245. Police received at least 8 calls over the weekend about a very large bear going through trash cans in the Indian River neighborhood. It's estimated to be about 8 feet tall and, like many bears, is really into garbage. Fish and animal waste, cooking oils, and even baby diapers are attractive to bears, and experts say once they learn it's in your trash, they'll keep coming back. Sitka Police Lieutenant Barry Allen says even chaining your trash can shut doesn't always work.
More than one instance now where the bears are, you know, flattening out those trash cans and just pulling stuff through the, you know, the cracks in the lids. And we've had at least one occasion where we've had bears chew through one of the big trash containers.
The solution? Allen says you should freeze any food and animal parts, put diapers in separate containers, and make a trip to the transfer station on Jarvis Street. Everyone is allowed to dump up to 200 pounds of waste per month for free. If you can't make it to the transfer station, he says the next best thing is to wait and put smelly waste in the trash the morning of garbage day. Since the start of the year, at least 4 stores have closed in downtown Sitka. Fewer visitors are coming aboard cruise ships, sales tax revenues are declining, and business owners have long expressed concerns about financial health of Lincoln Street. Now a group of Sitka residents hope to do something about it, and they want your help. KCAW's Ed Ronco reports.
The cellar should be closed right now, but it's packed. Customers are picking over clothing and board games, and it's hard to move freely through the shop's narrow passages. Everyone's come downtown for Moonlight Madness, a Halloween-themed event organized by the Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, it's huge. We look forward to it because we're able to get a lot of inventory out, clearance the items to get ready for our holiday.
Vicki Denkinger owns the cellar. Tonight, she's dressed as a 1920s flapper, like the rest of her staff. Warm light spills out of the store and onto the sidewalk as people come and go. But across the street, most of the block is dark and empty.
We need new businesses. We need people that are willing to come in and want to start a new business because it affects us when they're not here. Less people come downtown. They'd rather go to catch Juno or online.
3 of the block's 5 storefronts have signs in the window reading, "For Rent." Baranov's Russian and American store called it quits this year, as did Fairweather Gallery and Gifts, which moved to Juneau to capitalize on a higher number of cruise passengers. And it doesn't look as though Del Sol, a summer-only t-shirt store, is coming back next season either. Further down the street, the Alaska Basket Company is having a closeout sale. A sign on the door there says the last day of business is October 31st. None of the Moonlight Madness shoppers head down this stretch of sidewalk, but if you go back in time, just a few hours, you'll find Doug Osborne and Angela McGraw walking along the street on a mission.
Hello.
Good. Hey, how are you?
Fine. How are you doing?
I am good. I have a flyer.
Osborne and McGraw are part of the Sitka Health Summit, an annual gathering put on by Sitka's 2 hospitals, where locals establish health and wellness goals for the community. The top 3 are chosen by popular vote, and this year's big winner was revitalizing downtown.
So yeah, we're just getting together. We're going to look at what some other towns have done.
Wait, stop. What does revitalizing downtown have to do with health and wellness?
In a healthy community, the healthy choice is the easy choice. And so you make a downtown area that's good for kids, that's good for people that are walking, that's good for people that may have disabilities, that's good for people that bike, that's good for a lot of different people with a lot of different ways of getting around. So here's Sitka Bazaar.
Osborne and McGraw drop in on a few stores, including Brenner's Fine Clothing and Gifts. It's open year-round and has been in business in Sitka since 1967. Stephanie Brenner runs the business, and she says the loss of so many downtown neighbors has an impact on those who remain.
One store is not an island, and so we are not a reason for people to come downtown. So when you have less businesses downtown, it's less reasons for people to actually come downtown.
Just off the top of her head, Brenner lists a few ideas to revitalize downtown. New paint on prominent buildings. Make seasonal stores keep their lights on in the off-season so downtown doesn't look dead. Put more bathrooms on her end of Lincoln Street.
You've thought a lot about this.
I think when you live here, and I feel like I live downtown, or I work at least downtown, you're around it all the time.
Osborne, McGraw, and the Health Summit Group hope to develop a plan by channeling that energy, Brenner's or anyone else's. Osborne says there might be differing approaches, but he says downtown areas still matter to communities. He cites shopping centers in the lower 48 that have been built to mimic the appearance of a small town's main street.
I mean, they look nice and they look groomed and they look like a small town, but they're missing a soul because they're not real. They're not real. They're companies that are catering to a suburban population and trying to maximize their profit, and they're not having people live there. And people drive there and go to work there, but...
And
it's
we're
not
lucky.
Like,
we're already starting with the soul.
We're starting with the real town.
I know.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
The Sitka Health Summit's Downtown Revitalization Project kicks off with an hour-long meeting tonight at 5:30 p.m. inside Harrigan Centennial Hall. If you can't make it, we have links on our website so you can still give your input. The Alaska State Ferry Taku will remain tied up in Petersburg until this afternoon before it heads south to fix a mechanical problem. The 49-year-old ferry docked in Petersburg Monday morning under its own power with the help of a tugboat. That's after the ship's captain noticed one of the vessel's two rudders was not responding properly. The state says a hydraulic ram that controls the rudder has a crack. The vessel had 109 passengers and 24 vehicles on board on its way to Petersburg. The Coast Guard was notified of the problem. Officials cleared the ship to resume passenger service to Ketchikan. However, the state has canceled the ship's scheduled service to Wrangell, as well as the sailing from Ketchikan south to Prince Rupert. The Taku will leave Petersburg at 1:15 today on its way to Ketchikan for repairs and will be taking Ketchikan-bound passengers along. The timing allows the vessel to head south through the Wrangell Narrows near Petersburg at high slack tide. It will be accompanied by two tugboats on that part of the trip to ensure safe passage through the narrow waterway. The Alaska Marine Highway System does not have a timetable yet for completing repairs, but it is contacting passengers affected by the cancellations. Wrangell and Prince Rupert passengers are being rebooked onto other vessels. For more information, call the Marine Highway Reservation Center at 800-642-0066. A bullet that killed a Hoonah police officer also may have come close to hitting his wife. That was the substance of testimony Monday at the trial of John Marvin Jr., who's accused of shooting two Hoonah police officers in late August of 2010. Hoonah resident Paul Johansson told the court that he discovered a spent round on the pavement during a community vigil following the killing of Matthew Tokuosha and Anthony Wallace. It was near where Tokuoka's widow, Haley, had been sitting in a lawn chair during the shootings. Haley returned to the same spot during the vigil. In an emotional testimony, Johansson said he discreetly picked up the slug without showing it to Haley.
So, to save Haley any more hurt, I picked the bullet up.
Did you try to do that without her seeing it?
Yes, I did. I just kind of palmed it in my hand, and I held it a little bit, and then I noticed the two state troopers across the street. So I kind of nonchalantly walked over just so I wouldn't raise suspicion with Haley. And turned it into them.
Also testifying today was Mike Lockaby, a reserve officer from Wrangell who was recruited to watch the Marvin's house hours after the shooting. Hoonah resident Joanna Diebold, ex-wife of Marvin, also testified what appeared to be her former husband's deteriorating condition in the months after the shooting. The trial is expected to last through this Friday. Reporter Matt Miller is live blogging the trial from the Diamond Courthouse in Juneau. You can see a picture of the bullet mentioned in his testimony and other trial news at ktoo.org. Governor Sean Parnell and his wife Sandy are welcoming trick-or-treaters to the governor's mansion on Halloween night. Parnell spokeswoman Sharon Leo said the couple will be handing out candy at the house in Juneau from 6 to 8 p.m. on Wednesday. Leo says the Parnells won't be in costume, but the staff will be. She says opening the house to trick-or-treaters is a tradition, though not every governor has handed out candy. Sometimes staff does that. She says more than 200 trick-or-treaters stopped at the mansion last year. The last time Parnells handed out candy was 2009. A trial has begun in Bethel for the first of 24 Western Alaskan natives accused of subsistence fishing for king salmon in violation of strict restrictions set by the state because of poor runs. Bethel District Attorney June Stein says each trial will be heard separately by a judge. Aldolf Lupi of Tutunliak is among the fishermen awaiting trials on the non-criminal gear violations. The 58-year-old Yupik Eskimo was in court Monday when the trial of another fisherman began and says a Yupik interpreter participated in the proceedings. In all, 60 fishermen originally faced misdemeanor charges of using restricted gear and or fishing in closed sections of the Kuskokwim River during the Summer King Run. Most charges were later reduced to minor violations, and many pleaded guilty to the reduced counts. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. And here is your Sitka Zone weather. Today in Sitka, expect snow or rain in the morning, becoming all rain in the afternoon. Little or no snow accumulation, with highs around 40, south wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, rain with lows around 39, south wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. Wednesday, rain is likely, highs around 42, southwest wind 10 miles per hour. And Thursday, mostly cloudy with a slight chance of rain showers, highs around 45, east wind 5 miles per hour. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka.